I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo! Check this out.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, this is where you will find a safe space for independent thinkers out there. Appreciate you joining me. We're going to need that level of independent thought as the great political puppet show has begun. Do you like the puppet on the left or the puppet on the right? This is what everybody will be talking about for the next 3 months. Democratic Convention, I'm not going to be your source for sound bites and rebuttals from the Democratic National Convention that started last night. I've got a couple of little tidbits on it that I find on the kind of on the fringes of issues like that. I have no desire to play anything from Michelle Obama or any of the Republicans, John Kasich, who spoke. I didn't even listen to it. Maybe I should play it. I don't know. I don't hear what he said. And the reason I don't, I'm a subscriber to the Founding Fathers, so I'll do that in honor of the great puppet show, the political theater that is kicking off this week. We got some quotes. My quotes of the day today are from the Founding Fathers. I've done these before, but I think they're good reminders, particularly at a time like this in the hyper-politicized United States during political campaign season. Here is Thomas Jefferson in a letter to Francis Hopkinson. He said, should I read this? Is anybody really interested in anything Thomas Jefferson had to say anymore? It seems to me like we still like him. Just ignore everything he said. This is what Thomas Jefferson said. I never submitted the whole system of my opinions to the creed of any party of men whatever in religion, in philosophy, in politics, or in anything else where I was capable of thinking for myself. Such an addiction is the last degradation of a free and moral agent. Amen, Thomas Jefferson. Maybe I'm channeling old Tommy J here on the Mike Madison Show every day. And I love the fact these guys were so smart. Such an addiction. And boy, has he nailed it. People are addicted to their side of political theater here in the United States, refusing to see anything outside of the party. Here's another one. This is George Washington. Anybody out there still a George Washington fan? George Washington said, let me warn you in the most solemn manner against the baneful effects of the spirit of party. It was George Washington, kind of like Eisenhower's military-industrial complex warning in his farewell speech. That was George Washington's farewell address, September 19th, 1796. Let me warn you in the most solemn manner against the baneful effects of the spirit of party. And in that same speech, in George Washington's farewell address, he said, the common and continual mischiefs of the spirit of party are sufficient to make it in the interest and duty of a wise people to discourage and restrain it. What would the Founding Fathers say if they woke up today? Oh, my gosh. They would look at the nut jobs out in the street that are fighting with each other. They would open up the Twitter and look at everybody fighting on Twitter with each other to carry water for one political party over another, and the Founding Fathers would weep. They would weep for what we have become. But I know I'm one tiny rock in the raging river of partisanship here in the United States. But anyway, the puppet show has begun. The left gets to go first, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But I wanted to get to this. I found this a little bit more fascinating. I certainly am paying attention to the financial side of things. It's kind of like, you know, what this show is, it's a bit of a counterbalance. When the news media and the political parties and the system wants to take you and focus you on one thing, I'm going to remind you of the things that are going on elsewhere. I ran across this headline this morning. It was just the headline alone had lots of good juicy nuggets in it. Futures inch to record high After Walmart earnings smash expectations, dollar hits 2-year low. That's a pretty impactful, if you understand the economy, if you understand what's going on, that's a pretty big headline to me. Futures inch to record high after Walmart earnings smash expectations, dollar hits 2-year low. Now, this is great news for Walmart. I want you to think about this for just a second and realize how great it is to be a gangster, how great it is to be Walmart. See, Walmart was considered an essential business during the lockdowns by local, state, and the federal government. So what actually happened is Walmart was essentially able to use the power of just about every branch of government at every level to shut down their competitors in retail. I got to say, that does help you smash earnings expectations when they force all of your competitors to close. And then, on top of that, you throw in the government giving people, the people who shop at your store, and again, they were basically given a monopoly over retail for several months. You give the people who shop at your store, you give them $3,400 per family to spend at your store, and you give a bunch of them $600 extra dollars a week in taxpayer-funded couch bonuses to come shop at your Monopoly store that is still open. Wow. Wow. And then before I came on air, though, I saw this, and there was a big uh-oh moment for Walmart. I mean, look, they had a good quarter. The government came in and closed down all the competitors and then gave Walmart shoppers thousands of extra dollars to spend at Walmart. But Walmart comments that sales began to normalize, that's the term they use, normalize in July, quote, may suggest that the outsized gains experienced over the last few months may be starting to ebb as government stimulus money tapered off. Don't worry, Walmart. These Congress critters, or President Trump through an executive order, he's going to flow some more fat, juicy taxpayer cash out to Walmart shoppers so they can continue to buy Chinese products from your stores. I mean, there's like 50 things wrong and with this story. And I don't want to miss the last part of the initial headlines. Futures inch to record high after Walmart earnings smash expectations, dollar hits 2-year low. Now, I don't think there's a lot of people out there tracking the U.S. dollar index, I would imagine. But let me just tell you, a 2-year low means your dollars, the amount of purchasing power you have from every paycheck you're drawing right now is the lowest it's been in 2 years, and it is certainly destined to head much further south. So your purchasing power is being eroded by all of this endless borrowing and debt spending. The dollar has lost about 98% of its value over the last 100 years. And it's going to continue to do that. So just to summarize, what we have just seen is I've told you, this is the, how have I phrased the air quotes here in the studio, stimulus payments. I've called it the reverse Robin Hood rescue plan, which is taking money from our grandchildren and generations yet unborn, robbing current taxpayers of their money right now, doling it out to a bunch of people to get it up to the very top. It's the reverse Robin Hood effect, and Walmart is one of those at the very top. So congratulations to Walmart. We're so glad that all that fat taxpayer cash and the draconian lockdowns ordered by every level of government, both Republican and Democrat. For those of you out there still so steeped in partisanship that you think the overreaction to COVID was just a Democrat problem, I don't know if you've watched the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott. Texas, the independent, the Lone Star State, that rock-ribbed conservative red state, Greg Abbott, closing stuff down. But the funny thing to me about this is I'm going to read those headlines because I realize the impact. I realize what they mean, but not one person in either party is going to explain that to you. None of them are even going to have an exception to it. They're fine that Walmart's doing well because Walmart pays both parties. They also buy off state and local politicians. You ever seen the tax incentives that a Walmart gets to move in, a Sam's Club gets to move in? Oh, yeah. Everybody's on the take for Walmart, and Walmart's getting paid back in spades right now. You can't open that yogurt shop, but you can open a Walmart and let a couple of thousand people come in there and mingle around. It's absolutely insane. This is not capitalism for any of you on the left who think this is some failure of capitalism. We hadn't seen capitalism. I'm not sure if we can see capitalism in the rearview mirror by now. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
This world keeps getting weirder and weirder. I woke up this morning checking the headlines, and I saw a story where Donald Trump said he was apparently yesterday as he left, where was he, Minnesota or something, he said he was going to be pardoning somebody very, very important today, and the speculation went out. People thought maybe it would be Michael Flynn, but they said, nah, that wouldn't be him. He's really doesn't need to be pardoned. He just needs to work his way through this ridiculous attempt to reinstate his charges. And people thought, well, maybe it would be Edward Snowden. Trump actually did make some comments the other day, which do not impress me. Trump could not seem to focus on anything. He should have pardoned Edward Snowden basically the day he walked into office, along with Julian Assange. But instead, he called them both traitors and said they needed to be hung and executed for treason. But he did entertain. He said, yeah, he's kind of looking at maybe giving Edward Snowden a pardon, which is encouraging. Certainly would be a nice thing to do. Edward Snowden told us that our own government was spying on us. James Clapper is the one that should be in prison, not Edward Snowden. James Clapper lying to Congress. And nobody does a thing about it. You see why I say that both of these parties are just puppet parties? Have you ever noticed, you know, there's a lot of gnashing of teeth about how bad the Democrats are, and I agree with you, but do you ever wonder why the Republicans don't actually call them on it? Do you ever wonder why the Clintons have gotten away with what they've gotten away with? Huh? I mean, if there's this existential battle between the Republicans and the Democrats, always hell-bent on securing power and taking them down and advancing their ideas, and both and the Democrats to the Republicans too, but there is so much corruption in the Democratic Party, do you find it at all odd that it never actually gets prosecuted? So anyway, so there was this talk about this pardon. Well, it kind of settled in from a lot of people that Trump was going to pardon Assange, which would just be fantastic. We're trying to kill Assange. You have a Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, who for some reason Trump has hired to run his CIA and now his State Department, who says that Assange should be brought back to the United States and executed. Because Assange dared to air the dirty laundry, the hidden stuff. It's what journalists used to do. And Assange gave a platform for whistleblowers to let us know the truth about things. And I know a lot of conservatives out there who think that Julian Assange should be executed because Mike Pompeo told them he should be. But the debate seemed to kind of settle that maybe Donald Trump was going to pardon Assange. Now, I just ran across a headline And if this is the truth of the matter, and I think it is, what a bait and switch. Trump to pardon. This is from the AP 19 minutes ago. Trump to pardon. Anyone? Anyone? Is it Assange? Michael Flynn? Edward Snowden? No. Trump to pardon women's suffrage leader Susan Anthony. As controversy, this is from the AP, as controversy swirls over mail-in voting in this year's election, President Donald Trump said Tuesday he will pardon Susan B. Anthony, a woman suffrage leader arrested for voting in 1873 in violation of laws permitting only men to vote. So, sorry, Assange. Sorry, Snowden. Sorry, Michael Flynn. Al Flynn doesn't need it anyway. He's already been exonerated, thankfully. But sorry, Assange. Sorry, Snowden. All of us actually thought out here that Trump was going to do something pretty bold here. Instead, he does a political pandering move to somehow make a statement on women and voting rights. And unbelievable. I got to tell you, he did surprise me. I have to admit that I did not see Susan B. Anthony being the person that gets a pardon. When did she die, I wonder? I guess her family will be thrilled. Her great-grandchildren will be thrilled to hear the news. Looking through this story to see when she actually died. I don't even see it, and it doesn't even matter. Wow, what a monumental letdown that is. I'll be interested to see the sites that were laying odds on Assange. I'll be very interested to see the disappointment that comes in on those. Holy cow. This really is the political theater from the outside. I really encourage you to join me on the outside of the two-party system to watch in. You will see a show. It is just the most bizarre reality TV. The problem is, the frustrating part of it is, when you're on the outside looking in, you realize how many people think it's real life. And that can be a little aggravating because you do feel a little alone. But join me. I'd like some people out here on my little independent island. Images are rolling in of college students socializing. Have you seen this travesty? Kids are out partying. They're going to bars. They're hugging each other. We're all going to die. It is amazing. The news is just stacked up with this stuff. Oh, and the finger wagging from the media and people like Thomas Dobbs here in Mississippi and all the health authorities. How dare they? Now, what's interesting to me when I see this is I thought the reason that we had to keep college students apart, you know, younger people, not just even college students, the reason that young, healthy people had to be locked down is because they were going to take the COVID and kill granny with it, right? Well, now we've got them off on college campuses where granny isn't anywhere around, but they still can't talk to each other. They still can't socialize. And the funny thing is, I saw this for UNC Chapel Hill. I've been such a big fan of that school and their basketball team. Quite a shame to have to go after them. So here's what they did in response. They went to all online classes and sent all the kids home. Now, pardon me, but I thought the point was that really the kids, COVID doesn't really affect them. They're not going to die from this. For most of them, it's a very, very mild sickness if they experience anything. The fear was always that they were going to transmit it to older generations in their family. So what do? When they get into a big group, we scold them and we send them where? Anyone? 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 We send them home to be with their parents and their grandparents. This is either just stupidity on a massive scale, or it is truly an evil plot to purge the Social Security rolls. I'm not really sure. What I see when I see these big groups is kids that are reclaiming their lives and their mental health. Even as millennials and Gen Zers, who were all very quick to criticize, God knows there's plenty of videos out there of some of them who don't have a clue, weighing in on issues that they don't even understand, and it can be aggravating. But these generations of millennials and Gen Zers are braver than the adults in our society at this point. And now maybe that's because they think they're invincible. I certainly did things when I was young that I wouldn't do now because I just never even thought about the idea of my life ending. Some really, really stupid stuff. But to me, it is still wildly refreshing to see groups of people not cowering in fear. I feel the same way when I see a church service of people singing and defying a government, a governor's orders, and having a church service. It is so nice to see some level of people who are not scared of their own shadows. And that is what college students are doing. I encourage it. When I took my kid up to Ole Miss on Saturday, I think I said this yesterday, he and I got to the apartment. You know, they have their move-in times. Everything is very structured now. I think they gave him 2 hours to move in. You have to be here on this day, and you get 2 hours to move in. <You know? laughs> People just love their dang rules, don't they? I don't know if it's a homeowners association or a college apartment. It doesn't matter what it is. Everybody wants their rules. You're going to do it this way, or there's no wiggle room. So anyway, he's given 2 hours to move in. We get there, I don't know, 15 minutes after his window opens to move in. We're the first ones there. Within about 30 minutes of moving his stuff in, there were about 15 guys in that apartment. I am so glad I'm a fully functioning, thinking human being. I can't imagine if you were one of these parents who's just freaked out by this, and you're running around your kid's new apartment, and he's finally seeing his friends after all these months, shoving them apart with your tape measure. Back away, boys. Back away, boys. Stopping friends at the door. You can't come in. We're all full. I thought it was so refreshing to see these kids being normal kids again and being able to just laugh and joke. And there was a smile on every one of their faces as they were laughing and doing what kids are supposed to be doing. Listen to this. The cost of the stupidity is going to be felt for years to come if they ever let this thing end. I saw a headline today. There's a case of the plague out in California. I mean, I'm telling you, we've set a precedent here. We better grow a pair before this fall, ladies and gentlemen, or we are going to be locked down at the whim of these public health bureaucrats and the politicians that enable them over and over and over again. We need to nip this thing in the bud. We should have done it back in March and April. But it's never too late to at least get a spine. Listen to these statistics. More than one in four U.S. adults aged 18 to 24 has considered suicide since the pandemic began, more than double the number who thought of suicide before COVID-19 closed down most of the U.S. Before the pandemic, 10.7% of persons in the age group had considered suicide. 25.5% have considered it since it began, the CDC reported. Self-reported, unpaid caregivers clutched the highest percentage of demographics considering killing themselves at 30.7%. Essential workers came in at 21.7%, while overall 40.9% of persons surveyed said they had suffered at least one adverse mental or behavioral health condition since the pandemic began, including anxiety and depression, 30.9% of people. A third. That's over 100 million people in the United States suffering ill effects from this, because 170,000 people supposedly, now we know these statistics are wrong, but I'll even give it to you, 170,000 people, most of them of such an advanced age and ailing health already that they may have been dead in the next 6 months to a year anyway. Not trying to be callous. It's a tragedy if you lost somebody of the elder generation. We love our grandparents. We love our parents. But to think we have hurled 100+ million people into some state of depression and suicidal thoughts based on this, I don't know what it takes for the American people to buck up and be courageous in the face of this. Have politicians beat us down so bad that we are scared to stand up? I mean, I love to see these business owners fight against the system, but they're few and far between. I mean, we have to look at Mike Land, his barbershop in Madison, to his credit, family barber in Madison. He stood up against it. Then there's the gym owners up in New Jersey, arrested, business license pulled. But you have to go around the country and find these sparing little stories. Why the business community? Why the local chambers of commerce? If you have any value whatsoever as a local chamber of commerce, you should be holding emergency meetings saying, we are not doing this anymore. Are we all ready to go against this lockdown situation? Couple of other lessons that the colleges are teaching our kids in the face of COVID that are absolutely pathetic. I'll get to when we come back. Stay with me. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so. You tell me that you care.
I'm sorry. I'm having a tough time getting over the pardon of Susan B. Anthony. Some people were speculating that it might have been the McCloskeys. These are the people charged with whatever they're charged with. I haven't kept up with what the charges are against them. This is the couple who had the guns out in front of their St. Louis home when the rioters came through their neighborhood, and so they stood in front of their home and to protect their property. Woman did a terrible job handling her firearm, but the sentiment is good. They've seen the damage that's been going, so they protected their home. Some people thought Trump might have pardoned them, but apparently that was not it. Susan B. Anthony. Good God almighty. I had already, before I saw the news from yesterday that Trump said he had planned to pardon, I was going to talk about, actually for the last couple of days, this idea that he was considering pardoning Snowden. Here's my problem with Donald Trump. He doesn't seem to have a lot of real true convictions on a lot of issues. It doesn't follow through on them. They may be good ideas, and if they get a good response from his base, he will say them quite often, but the conviction on them seems to be a little lacking to me. Before taking office, Trump tweeted at least 45 times denouncing Snowden as a traitor and calling for his execution. So maybe he's changing his mind on that, but I doubt seriously as long as he's got the warmongering piece of human refuse Mike Pompeo in as Secretary of State, Julian Assange and Edward Snowden will continue to be abused by the American foreign policy establishment that has really largely destroyed this country, while people like James Clapper, who just open air in front of the entire world, lie to Congress, they just walk around and get a consulting deal with CNN. Yeah. Rule of law. What do we say? Law and order. Isn't that the tweet that keeps going out in all caps with an exclamation point at the bottom? Or after it? Colleges are still absolutely going insane. Well, let's see. I got a caller. Let's take a quick caller here. Caller, you're on the air. Are you with me? Hello. Yep. Now, you can't fault me for having patience on that one. I got right to you. You can call back if you want to. Colleges across America reopen for in-person learning this fall. Some are asking students to report peers who might not be following guidelines that universities have set up to prevent the spread of COVID-19. That's right. Not only are they going to teach your child how to be a socialist in school, they're going to teach him how to be a little snitch. This is breeding the next round of homeowners association officers, apparently. We've got a situation where we actually have homeowners snitching on each other for things too to the homeowners association. Or in my case, they took it straight to the city government when my pool turned green. They snitched on me. Didn't say anything to me. They snitched on me first. So the colleges are going to teach our kids how to snitch on their fellow students to protect them from a disease that is 99.9995% survivable. That seems like a prudent use of time. Nothing like teaching our young people to look at everybody around them as a bioterrorist, as some kind of a threat to them. That's a healthy approach. That's a healthy approach for interpersonal. Kids already right now have a hard time socializing because of what social media and phones and have done to them. They can barely speak to each other, many of them. Yeah, let's go ahead and throw in a healthy dose of suspecting each other of being a biohazard constantly. And if you see anybody get out of line, you run to the authorities and tell them, Johnny didn't wash his hands. I saw him. Stanford. Several of Stanford University's graduate programs, which rank among the best in the United States, removed or revised their admissions requirements in response to difficulties presented by the COVID-19 pandemic. Most notably, Stanford School of Medicine will not require students to take the Medical College Admission Test, the MCAT, the standardized test for medical degree candidates. Stanford Medicine said that applications can be submitted without the MCAT through September 30th, quote, in fairness to all applicants. What else did somebody have to do for the last 5 or 6 months rather than study for the MCATs? It seems like this has been the perfect scenario for doing well on your MCAT. They forced you in your home. Sounds like a good time to study, but you know, when I first looked at that, I thought, well, that's ridiculous. Look, I'm no big fan of the medical system. MCATs don't impress me. Teaching doctors about nutrition might be a nice start rather than the MCATs, if you want my take on it. But I thought, well, you know, really, it's kind of understandable. Why does a doctor really need to take the MCATs? Why do we have to even really train doctors anymore when all they have to do is just follow a bureaucrat from the CDC's guidance? I mean, you got doctors all over the country right now who have been trained in medicine and been working with patients for decades, but they're not allowed to make prescriptions and treat their patients the way they want them to. The state will stop them from that. They're supposed to sit around and wait on Anthony Fauci or for CDC guidance on it. I mean, I got to tell you, if all medical care is directed from the CDC and the FDA, you're just doling out pills or CDC recommended treatments, then what do you really even need a medical degree for? Can't we all be doctors? I mean, I can look at CDC guidance and tell a patient what to do, I guess. Doesn't seem like it's all that hard. So Stanford is dropping the MCATs. I mean, I got to tell you, I'm choosing to laugh at it today. I have these days where I just get into a mood where the stuff is so absurd. Nothing's more absurd than the pardon of Susan B. Anthony. That's the biggie, I got to say. But the rest of this stuff, too, the finger wagging at the college students who dare to go to a party. I mean, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? I guess I'll get to some. I have almost nothing on the Democratic Convention. Here's what I'm going to tell you about the Democratic Convention. A couple of things. One is the reviews are coming in. They're not great, even from the left. I don't care what Donald Trump says about the Democrat Convention. I don't care what the Republican Party says. Just like I don't care what the Democrats say about Donald Trump at the Republican Convention. You know, I mean, do we really think we're getting some kind of truth and honesty out of either one of these groups? I mean, I don't do political speech. I do like to listen to what the left thinks about their own convention. And Matt Taibbi, a well-reasoned, thoughtful liberal who I might disagree with on some things, but at least he's honest, he's come up with a fun way to endure what is meant to be, or what is sure to be, a week of horrible television programming when it comes to the DNC convention. I'll get to those couple of things because those are the only things about this convention that are of any interest to me. Be right back. All night with the king.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, here's my coverage of the Democratic National Convention. Minimal to say the least. I liked watching the reviews come in from the left today. Just curious. They act like they're this united party, but I pay attention to some of the progressives, particularly some of the thinking progressives, and there are some. I disagree with them on a ton of different things, but they're honest. Like, they knew that Russiagate was a bunch of bunk, malarkey, as Joe would say. Mark Ruffalo, he said, watching the Democratic convention, it's so good to see so many diverse people coming together and addressing racism and the promise of America. There is a sweetness and kindliness about this production. Marianne Williamson responded to that. She said, no, I'm sorry, but they did not address racism. They showed a lot of beautiful pictures of people of color and made references to BLM, but there was not one mention of an actual policy to help end systemic racism. It's like binge watching a Marriott commercial. I like that one. Marianne Williamson, another one that I would disagree with on a lot of policy stuff, but she'll tell it like it is occasionally. Somebody else tweeted, truly would love to hear about policy. Did I miss it? Let's see what else. Someone named Philip Lewis. These are left people. The DNC so far feels like one long ad on YouTube you'd usually skip. Oh, so there's a couple other ones here. Oh, yeah, I like this one. This convention so far makes me think the Democrats are the party ready to lead America into the 1980s. David Pakman, he's this young guy, does a really progressive show. Not a fan of that guy. Someone please talk me off the ledge. I want to win in the first 22 minutes of this DNC. I'm scared. Can someone tell me how great this is or something? And so the reviews coming in even from the left are not very congratulatory. I did try to tune in. I just ran across it in newsfeed. It was a live thing, so I clicked on it. I just got a song. Some woman standing on a rocks playing guitar and singing. Yeah, beautiful voice, but I didn't, you know. It's about all the stomach I had for it. So this was what I thought was more interesting to me, is Matt Taibbi, who I really have a great deal of respect for. Again, he is he's a pretty left guy, wants universal health care, some of these things. I'd like to talk to him about economics. The government never does anything well. I don't know what, but his heart is in the right place, so you got to give him that. But he also sees through the garbage of the Democratic Party and calls him out on it constantly. He came up with a drinking game. He said, turn on your TV to CNN or MSNBC right now. The odds aren't bad. I'd put them at 7-2 that the word historic is on the chyron. You'll hear this word 5,000 times at a minimum per day of the convention coverage. Out of respect for human life, you'll therefore be asked to drink to history or historic only when uttered by an actual convention speaker. I hope readers understand, without it being included in the list, that any mention of malarkey is an automatic drink. He had some other things. Here's the drinking game for the DNC. Drink every time to post office or any variation of, like postal service or mailbox. You have to take a drink every time they say soul of America, history or historic, but you only drink that drink when uttered by a convention speaker. Existential threat, that's a drink. This president, drink. Let me be clear. He said double shot if what comes after is not clear. Again, this is a left-leaning guy. See, this is more entertaining to me. We know what the Republicans are going to say about the Democrats and what the Democrats are going to say about the Republicans. There's nothing interesting there. It's theater. It's professional wrestling. So what do I care? Let's see. He says you can drink if you hear the word access, as in access to affordable health care or access to a good education. You may drink twice if this comes in conjunction with an argument about opportunity. Systemic, systematic, structural, fundamental, or fundamentally, double shot if the words are uttered by someone who has never voted for or supported a systemic reform. You have to drink if someone speaks positively of a Clinton. Some other phrases that you take a drink for, according to Matt Taibbi. This is not who we are, above the law, something, something, Mitch McConnell, something, something, is a human right. Trump is, with an unrehearsed witticism, also golf, which, according to Matt Taibbi, from the left. He says when you watch the DNC, you just take a drink if you hear Russia, birther, any attempts to speak Spanish, unity, civility. Those words. Uncharted waters. Drink rum if you have it and yell arg. And democracy itself. It says you also drink once per hour to racist or black lives or number two, lies. The bonus rule is you drink every time someone blames Trump for coronavirus deaths. And he's got a couple other rules for some Mad Libs things as well. So Matt Taibbi, at least, he understands the absolute abject hypocrisy of the Democratic Party. See, I can respect somebody like that. It's so much easier for me to have a conversation with a thinking liberal than it is for a Kool-Aid drinker on either side of the aisle who twists all kinds of logic to make whatever their party or their politician does somehow consistent with what they told you. It could be in the course of a conversation. I'm for small, limited government. Did you see the executive orders that Trump signed? They were great. So that's much more interesting to me. I ran across this while I'm poking a little at people carrying water for their people. I don't know. Someone can explain this to me. I'll just do it. I've only got about a minute left anyway. I can just do this as kind of a drive-by, I guess, because I ran across this. I was looking at, I don't know, something showed up in my inbox, and I went to Twitter. I do not do Twitter. I think Twitter is so tedious and probably destroying the country, to be honest with you. But I looked at it, and this is from the White House. President Donald Trump has mobilized his administration to address barriers to women's full economic empowerment around the world. And it has already made a difference in the lives of millions. It's a picture of Ivanka. Apparently, Ivanka Trump has doled out $122 million of fat, sweet taxpayer cash in new grants to support legal reforms to advocate for economic equality for women around the world. So that's something interesting for conservatives to think about this Friday when you get your paycheck stub and you look at your federal withholding and realize that all of the money you and your family will ever pay will not even cover a drop of what Ivanka Trump has spent, the $122 million of taxpayer cash to empower women in other countries. And I don't know if anybody's noticed. We don't have a lot of money laying around in the United States, and we're kind of borrowing a lot. I love women's empowerment. I want to see women around the world get their equal opportunities, and I want their lives to be the very best ever. Kind of seems like right now is not the time that we can really afford to make women's equality across the planet our main goal. Seems like we got a few problems here.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We'll be right back.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, and I am your host, Mike Madison. The phone number here, 601-879-0002. I'd like to hear how the pardoning of Susan B. Anthony has affected your life. Has it made you become a Trump supporter? Were you a radical left feminazi, to borrow a term from the Godfather? But you were turned on the bold decision to pardon Susan B. Anthony. Trump has made that bold step today. So if that's the case, please let me know, because I really can't figure out the strategy behind this. It feels like some of the weakest political pandering I've ever seen, particularly in the face of people like Julian Assange and Edward Snowden, who actually deserve a pardon. But anyway, that's what we've got. So I'm sure there's probably a lot of people out there, a lot of Trump supporters who will tell me why it's genius. These things are lost on me. I'm not as plugged in as most people, I guess. I'm going to talk a little bit today about the other candidates that are running for the presidency. Did you know there's more than two parties in this country? That may be breaking news to some people. We've got a two-party monopoly, kind of like Walmart and Amazon during the coronavirus. There actually are other retailers. You're just not told about them, and they're forced to shut down. Well, there are other political parties. The media just doesn't seem to pay a whole lot of attention to them, and they pretend that they don't exist and won't let them into debates and things like that. I can't begin to tell you how interesting it would be if we started to see debates by Trump, Biden, and a Libertarian candidate, and a Green Party candidate, and a Reform Party candidate, and a Constitution Party candidate. Doesn't it kind of feel like maybe that would expand people's choices and people might learn things? No. Instead, the puppeteers only got two hands. So you get Republicans versus Democrats, but there are other parties running, and I'm going to talk a little bit today about Jo Jorgensen. She is the woman running for the Libertarian ticket presidency. She will not win. And I got to tell you, I'm not the biggest fan. I actually liked a guy named Jacob Hornberger, who seemed very sharp to me. I kind of thought he might be a good spokesman for libertarianism, but he was defeated somehow in the primaries, which I'm not involved. I'm not actually a member of the Libertarian Party. I probably should be, just to virtue some numbers on that side, but I'm more a philosophical libertarian than I am a political libertarian. But I'm going to tell you a little bit about her just in honor of the political theater that has unveiled itself to us with the DNC to let you know there are other things. And I'm going to read some comments and play some clips from Jo Jorgensen, because I think it's very funny to me that conservatives would never entertain the idea of a libertarian candidate. I think most conservatives believe that they can be trusted with absolute freedom and liberty in the United States, but they just don't think other people can be. I'm really smart, and I should be able to be free, and people shouldn't mess with me. But most people, we need a bunch of laws for most people. They can't handle freedom like I can. So we'll talk a little bit about that. I wanted to talk about this story. I mean, you want to talk about stunning. Look, I dislike the Democrats as much as anybody listening to this show. Even though I don't carry water for the Republican Party or Donald Trump, the Democrats are just amazing in some of the things that they try to get away with, and they may get away with this in California. We'll see. California is poised to levy a wealth tax. Now, granted, it is for a fairly small portion of their population. I think it would affect about 30,000 people. 30,000 wealthy Californians, because California cannot manage its budgets because it's essentially a socialist state and they've made a wreck of their finances. They are going to look at, which is what political parties do, they look at a small sliver that is not a big voting block, and they descend on them. And the rich are always the targets. So California is looking at imposing this wealth tax on about 30,000 Californians. It is a air quotes here in the studio, small tax. But it's like 3% of everything over $30 million, something like that. But if that's not bad enough, because I try to appeal to you leftists, to you Democrats out there, think for yourselves for just a second. Wealthy people move. They just move. They just leave. New York City is circling the drain. You've got the governor of New York telling them, come back, I'll cook you dinner. I mean, literally, that's what he's saying. I think he said, come on over, I'll fix drinks, and I'll cook you dinner. You need to come back. They tax the crap out of wealthy people in New York. And look, a lot of people who got wealthy in New York on Wall Street did it not through capitalism or free markets, but by plucking and fleecing the American taxpayer through bailouts and Federal Reserve policy. So they didn't make their money by producing anything, but New York keeps ratcheting up its taxes, and then the rich start leaving, and then they act like they're surprised. They want them back. Yeah, I bet you do want them back, because rich people move, dummies. If you don't want rich people to be so rich, then start looking at the Federal Reserve and the politicians who create policies and tax code that benefit the 0.1%. It's actually 0.01% are really the people who are scamming the system. That's your billionaire class who's had all the carve-outs done in taxes and in Fed policy, that the reason they've gotten so uber wealthy. But here's what California is proposing. This is what's just stunning to me. So they are talking about this wealth tax, and apparently Neil Cavuto on Fox had this guy, I've only got his last name here, Bonta, on, talking about the new California wealth tax. He's talking about how it's, you know, targeted. They need to, whatever, pay their fair share. But in the story it says, knowing about the huge outbound migration from California, Cavuto asked what would happen to wealthy people who move out of state. Bonta, this control freak authoritarian Democrat, said tax, quote, avoidance, unquote, would not be allowed, as California would tax them for the next 10 years despite what state they live in. Bonta said that is because they accrued their wealth in California, the state can continue to legally tax it. So essentially, it's like a divorce just to move from one state or to another country. I don't know. And good luck collecting it, you psychopath. Can you imagine? They try to put a tax on you and you say no and you want to move to another state within the United States, and this state says not so fast, we're still coming after your money. Can you even imagine? You would put me in a cell for years before I would pay California one plug nickel. Now, I would imagine there's a lot of conservatives out there who find that absolutely outrageous, as you should. But did you know that the IRS, the federal government under both Republicans and Democrats, essentially does the same thing? If you live anywhere in the world, but you have money that comes from activities in the United States, the IRS will tax you. They will follow you to the ends of the earth, plucking dollars out of your pockets. So this is a federal policy that's gone more statewide, and California is going to start using IRS Gestapo tactics to collect wealth from wealthy citizens who actually move out of the state. What a psychopath. What a psychopath to even suggest such a thing. So they're trying to make it to where you cannot exit a high-tax state here in the United States. The home of the free, the land of the brave. when I come back, we're going to take a look at Joe Jorgensen, because nobody else will. Be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, so I'm going to use the occasion of the Democratic National Convention to let everybody know there's more than two parties in the country. I know people don't really like to hear this. Everybody, you got to get on your tribe. You got to get on your side. Oh, yeah, that's great, Mike. They've got great ideas in some areas, but now is not the time. It's never the time. You ever notice that? It's never the time. You're going to throw away your vote. You're going to elect the other guy. I mean, it is it's genius system. They really got us in quite a trap, but intellectually, you should not be trapped. Now, regardless of what your party affiliation is on your voter registration card, you can vote for whoever you want to or choose not to vote. What do you mean? People fought and died for our ability to vote. Well, you put 10 bad choices in front of me. I don't vote. Now, I've voted most every time. I voted for Constitution Party. I voted for Libertarian Party. And most recently, I voted for Donald J. Trump, the Republican Party, probably the first main Republican I voted for in 15 years, something like that, when I kind of caught on. See, the two parties are basically running a con job on us. I look at them both. They've both got white-collar criminality on them. The Republicans are more of white-collar corruption. Democrats have got some white-collar corruption. I mean, Chuck Schumer is one of the biggest beneficiaries. He's the rainmaker on Wall Street, yet he gets to pretend like he's for the little guy out there. It's pretty fascinating to watch. Barack Obama, ditto. Barack Obama raised more money from the big banks than John McCain or Mitt Romney in their elections in 08 and in 2012, but nobody seems to pay attention to that. Citigroup actually picked Obama's cabinet for him. This is in emails. It happened. But the Republicans are kind of, they got the white-collar corruption. They don't seem to get their hands dirty. The Democrats will go down into just pure street thuggery. And that is the kind of thing that sticks out, particularly to a lot of people that are more conservative. The Democrats, they really cover the spectrum of criminality on the Democratic side. But anyway, I'm going to just read a little bit. There was a story about Jo Jorgensen. She is the Libertarian candidate for the presidency. And I'm just going to read a little bit to you, and I'm just curious to know if anybody, you know, what you might have a problem with, or because it, boy, it sounds a lot like the Founding Fathers stuff. Whenever I listen to libertarians speak, they talk about sound money, they talk about freedom, they talk about no endless wars, no warfare state, no welfare state, no central bank. It sounds a lot like the Founding Fathers to me, which a lot of conservatives talk a lot of in glowing terms about Founding Fathers, yet they ignore the Founding Fathers, so I'll just read a little bit about Jo Jorgensen. As a persistent rain fell, supporters of Libertarian presidential candidate Jo Jorgensen gathered in Durham, this is North Carolina, on Saturday night to applaud the three-time candidate's laments about the, quote, too big, too bossy, too nosy, and too intrusive federal government. Quote, we need to put the decision-making power back into your hands because you know what's best for you, she said, to cheers from the crowd of over 200 people. Believe me, I'm firmly aware. We've got to, I don't want to say we, because I'm not part of the Libertarian Party. I am ideologically somebody who wants the government to leave me the hell alone and quit bankrupting future generations. That's basically where I am in a nutshell. But the Libertarian Party needs a celebrity. Kane, is that the guy's name? He's a wrestler. He's a libertarian. He's like the mayor of some Tennessee or Kentucky town. They need to raise that guy up. They need to attract some celebrity. People want to be sold. The only reason Mitt Romney got any votes or any traction in the Republican Party is because he's this businessman, strong jaw. He's a good-looking guy. People want to be sold something. You know what I mean? You got to put it into a package. People aren't real deep, to be honest with you. They need some charisma to lead them. People want to be led. See, I don't want to be led. I want to be left alone. But 200 people showed up for this particular rally. Hey, look, that's better than Joe Biden did at some of the things. There were times when Joe Biden was on the campaign trail. He got 12 people to show up for him during the primaries. They met at Mystic Farm and Distillery. Most of the attendees were white and in their 20s or 30s, and most were not wearing masks or maintaining the six-foot distance from other attendees. Oh, dear. Yeah, that was because they were truly free people that were at a libertarian thing. Jorgensen's list of big government's failures included restrictive coronavirus lockdowns, massive military spending, and a broken healthcare system. Under a libertarian administration, she said each problem would be solved by a... anyone? Anyone? Bureaucrat? No, no, no. Agency? No, no. By a free market unrestrained by the federal government. This is what Jo Jorgensen said. This is, again, the Libertarian candidate for presidency. She said, where's the bottom line on defunding programs with the federal government? As low as we can go. The federal government should only be involved in part of the court system and the military, and that's it. In an interview with the News and Observer on her campaign bus after the rally, Jorgensen described how a libertarian administration would address the coronavirus crisis. And she said this, quote, "The first thing I would do, and I wouldn't expect it to be successful, but I would try to get as much money back from the large corporations as I could that we gave money to because they should not have been given any money." Oh, she's against bailouts. How dare she? She went on to say, "I would open it up so people could get back to work and reduce taxes, such as the payroll tax, so the companies could afford to hire employees back more easily." Now, here is where, so I would imagine for a conservative audience, all of those things, I mean, don't some of those things sound kind of, here's the thing, too, about the Libertarian Party, or libertarians in general, when they say things, they actually mean it. Now, I will admit, we've never seen libertarians garner any level of power in a state or at the federal level. Maybe they would be turned into what we see most people that go to Washington turned into. I don't know, but in discussions in the people that I know and the people that I listen to on libertarian issues, they're much more, they actually believe the things they're saying. They think a lot on these things. They're not pandering. They're just about freedom and personal responsibility. Now, here's where Joe Jorgensen might lose some conservatives. If you liked what you heard so far, Jorgensen's platform also emphasizes criminal justice reform and decriminalizing drugs. Ooh. That's a tough sell to a lot of people on the right. Now, I've talked at pretty good length on this show about the massive failure that is the drug war, but it does not deter most people from wanting to double down on it. Again, most people say that they want real freedom in this country. We want freedom. You got the Gadsden flag and call ourselves patriots and all these things. We want real freedom. Well, except for any behaviors that I don't agree with. Those people should not be allowed to have freedoms. They should be put into a cage. When she talked about Joe Jorgensen, she talked about defunding the police. And this is what she said about defunding the police. Quote, "I want to defund the police from a federal level. Now, whether a local police department wants to defund the police, that's up to them. I have no position on local police." Wow. What do you mean? A president that doesn't try to micromanage every single aspect of society and make decisions for every town across a huge geographic country like the United States doesn't try to make decisions for 330 million people? How dare she? That's not leadership, right? Well, she's exactly right. Let the communities solve their problems on their own. So this is Joe Jorgensen. I'm going to play when I come back in just a second. I'll take a quick break, and when I come back, I'll play one of the news stories about her campaign stop. She says a couple of other things, and I've got a clip here. If I can, it was kind of a long clip, and I didn't record it and then cut it up, but she was on Gun Talk. She was on a gun show for a pretty prolonged period of time. I'm sure the only presidential candidate who would go on a gun show like that and expressed incredible loyalty to the Second Amendment. Just basically hands off the Second Amendment, which is another plus to people who actually believe in real freedom. So when we come back, we'll play this news story on Joe Jorgensen, her campaign stop. And I'm sure there's people who've got real problems with some libertarian. I mean, I get people who comment to me that they really wish I'd stop talking about the fact that I'm a libertarian. And the only reason I probably don't say it more is because I'm probably not the best spokesperson for the Libertarian Party. I'm not as deep a thinker on probably a lot of the things. I know some libertarians personally, incredibly, incredibly smart people that could probably talk circles around me. I just want the government off my back and out of my pocket. I want them to stop running around the world trying to boss the rest of the world around. What people see as American leadership has been an absolute disaster that is bankrupting this country. And I got kids. So I want a few very simple common sense things, it seems to me, but I know a lot of people, there's always that thing, yes, but we want to end the endless wars too, Mike, except for Iran and Venezuela. Now, those are real problems. There's always a but in there somewhere, but I got to tell you, we're running out of time for allowing the system to go as it is. Anyway, it's a quick break. Come back with Joe Jorgensen on the campaign trail. Stay with me.
Mm-hmm. If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIAB, phone number 601-879-0002. I'm talking a little bit about the Libertarian Party. I'm not a member of the Libertarian Party, and maybe I should be, just to give them some numbers. It would probably be nice if more people joined the party to give them a larger... When you look at the results in several states around the country, over the past 20 years, Libertarian Party is getting up into the 2 or 3%. Doesn't make a big deal, but, you know... I'm just somebody who's so fed up with the professional wrestling of the Republicans and the Democrats right now, this uniparty monopoly that we've got, that, I mean, doing nothing doesn't really seem to be an option. Again, if I didn't have kids, I could just kind of laugh this off into the sunset. I'm a middle-aged guy. I maybe got 20 more good years in me. Maybe 40 with my nutrition, but who knows? Get hit by a bus tomorrow. But I've got kids, and I want to hand this off to them, and, you know, this two-party deal. I don't know that I'm going to ever live to see people in the Libertarian Party get any level of power in this government. I don't know if I would live to see in Mississippi Libertarian Senator or something like that as a Libertarian Party. But what I would encourage conservatives to consider is looking for Republican candidates who are more libertarian, who are more actual freedom. We do not do that here in Mississippi. And boy, if there's any state that could really use a good shot in the arm of free market economics, it's Mississippi. What do we got? Like, up until recently, had to have 300 hours of training to braid hair to get a hair braiding license in Mississippi, a state that struggles to find employment and keep people out of poverty. Yet Mississippi puts this up. Now, the group that challenged that is a libertarian leaning conservative group. And so if people would twist their minds, the problem is so many people have real problems with real freedom. We like this kind of freedom with training wheels on it. Want a lot of freedom for ourselves, but, you know, you could live in a society, theoretically, it's a thought experiment. You could live in a society with no taxes, at least no federal income taxes. Theoretically, you could live in a society with no taxes. You do everything voluntarily. You want to be on the roads with your car, you're going to pay a user fee to do that. You want to take your bike out on the road. I wouldn't have a problem with a bike license in a local community that says, hey, we're going to build bike paths or we're going to let your bikes in there, but you got to help us maintain the roads. If you want to ride a bike, you're going to pay a little fee every year. I'm down with that. No taxes, but I pay a fee for whatever I use. That's fine, too. These things could actually happen. But the two major parties certainly aren't going to ever get you there. But just imagine a world where you didn't have taxes. Let's just at least say federal income taxes. You didn't have payroll taxes. You didn't have Social Security. Imagine all that extra money in your pockets. And then you could pick and choose what you wanted to do with your money. You could support those charities, the places where you want to help. You could save money and provide for your parents' retirement yourself, or maybe your own retirement. You wouldn't need Social Security. Imagine not having an endless world empire, endless wars that are going on. There's so many different things you could have if we actually had more freedom, got back to our roots, which is what I believe people who are libertarian in belief get you back towards. Here's the problem. All that sounds great, except I don't think I'm down with my neighbor being able to smoke a joint. I'd rather be a tax slave, a sharecropper, and send our kids halfway around the world to fight and die in the sand for nothing than allow my neighbor to smoke a joint. I mean, I don't get that, but it's kind of where I feel a lot of people are. So anyway, one of the best ways to start moving the needle back is to start getting, Rand Paul's pretty pretty popular in conservative circles with a lot of people, unless Trump calls him out for something. Thomas Massie, for people who actually like freedom and conservative ideas of a small, limited government, Thomas Massie is one of the best congressmen in the House of Representatives right now from Kentucky. He's not ever going to mess with your guns. He's not ever going to vote for higher taxes. He's not ever going to vote for increased government spending because he's a principled guy. But then, oh dear, when he tried to get everybody to vote on the coronavirus package instead of just passing the largest spending bill in the history of mankind, when he dared to ask him to show up to vote, Trump says he should be run out. He's a grandstander, just seeking attention. He should be run out of the Republican Party. And a lot of Republicans joined him on that. I saw it on the comment boards of Breitbart. And so my only goal would not be to have some Libertarian Party resurgence, but for people to start to kind of open their ears, open their eyes, open their minds a little bit and say, at least take the Republican Party back to its roots a little bit rather than this party it's become, which is bought and sold for by special interests and is paid to wage endless wars and convinces you that cutting your taxes by 3% is somehow some kind of a victory. They're to be patted on the back when they only take 28% of your money instead of 31%. That somehow is a victory now. I'm not a tax slave myself. The victory is when you get when these politicians realize that the money that I earn is mine, not theirs. That's a victory to me. Not when they acknowledge that they don't deserve 31% of it, but they do take 28%, and if I don't pay it, they put me into a cage. That's not a victory to me. It wouldn't have been a victory to George Washington or Thomas Jefferson either. Anyway, this is a quick clip. Joe Jorgensen on the campaign trail.
Turning to Oshkosh News, one presidential candidate considered a long shot at best against Biden and Trump made a pit stop in northeast Wisconsin this afternoon. Local 5's Rhonda Fox attended the Libertarian candidate's rally in Oshkosh and brings us more.
Why are we so polarized? And I would say one reason is because so many of our decisions do go through government.
Libertarian Party presidential candidate Dr. Joe Jorgensen wants to give voters back control.
And I know right now there's a debate over whether to wear masks and not masks. And just the fact that some people are saying, you know what, maybe it should be between us and the businesses we shop at. And that's what the Libertarian Party believes in.
The beauty of the Libertarian Party is it lets you choose. It's like right in the middle. You don't have to be so confrontational about your belief structure.
Libertarians celebrate individual freedoms, which is why Dr. Jorgensen says this political party resonates with America.
What I have to offer is to allow them to make their own choices. I would say to every voter out there, we're on your side, that we think that you can make your decisions better than government.
Potential voters lined up to hear the Libertarian plan on other important issues during this pandemic, like health care.
When you go to buy a car, or you go to buy a computer, or even groceries, different companies offer you different quality, different prices, and they have to compete based on price. And so why can't we have that in health care?
I chose Dr. Jorgensen because she provides the different option with the same amount of credentials that I could ever ask for, and who better of a person to represent my country.
In Oshkosh, Rhonda Fox, Local 5 News.
So there you go. It's a little light on details. I might try to see if I can get Joe Jorgensen on the air. I'm not, you know, I'm really not even about, I'm in the middle of Trump country. Boy, am I aware of that. Calls, emails that I get, I absolutely understand. And I understand why people vote for Donald Trump when you see the left and what they're up to. I'm not tone deaf to that. I understand it. But the ideas of actually rolling back the conservative movement back to what it probably should be, I almost don't recognize it anymore. When you have a conservative movement that finally, after so many years, after 16 years, and this is to Donald Trump's great credit, he ignites the anti-war side of the Republican Party and of conservative people. Conservatives that had been swayed by the Bush administration and the neocons for decades to support endless wars. And here comes Donald Trump out of nowhere saying, these wars are the biggest mistake we've ever made. And I watched with great enthusiasm conservative crowds, Republicans cheering for that idea. That was very refreshing to me as somebody who really went pretty seriously anti-war back in 2003, as I said, we're going into Iraq? Wait a second. And it didn't seem to be going so well. So Donald Trump woke up that. But now there's this exception. Now Donald Trump has surrounded himself with the neocons they campaigned against, and suddenly those conservatives, who I thought were starting to wake up to endless wars, now want us to lay sanctions on Iran and Venezuela and Russia and China. And these wars are going to be the good wars, Mike. You don't understand. We've got to do something about Iran. And so there's just not a lot of ideological consistency on that. I just think it's worth talking a little bit about the fact that there are more than these two parties. We've got the Democratic convention this week. I'm not sure when the Republican convention starts. I'll be equally as disinterested in the Republican convention. It's funny. You know, we all know that politicians lie to us, right? I mean, we know that they pander to us, right? We know these things intellectually and intuitively. Nobody really trusts a politician. But then when these conventions come, everybody parses through every word like it's somehow going to manifest itself in legislation and they're going to save us all. And I don't know how many conventions I've been alive for now, but it doesn't happen. I don't know if you've noticed this. It would almost be interesting to go in and start comparing the rhetoric of the last 20 Republican or last 20 Democratic conventions, listening to their language to figure out if they accomplished any single thing that they pandered to people in order to get their vote, see if they accomplished any bit of it. Now, I got to tell you, if I see the Republicans campaign on repealing Obamacare in the 2020 Republican National Convention, I'm going to lose my mind. I'll be right back. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Final segment for today. It's kind of funny. This show is different. Being on conservative talk radio, you would think that Democrat convention time, an election year, would be really a layup. It'd be kind of the easiest time to do a show. And it's absolutely opposite the case for me because I'm so uninterested in the two-party talking point stuff that I have to actually search for things. And so much news, so many things that are actually happening that I find interesting or concerning or anything are harder to find because everything's crowded out by a bunch of talking points, news stories on one side or the other. It actually makes my job more difficult. I should lean into the two-party politics. It would certainly make each day's show a little bit easier. But that's not where I am, and that's not who I am. There have been a couple of stories that I've been kind of pulling along. One of them came yesterday. There's just some creepy things happening in the world we need to keep our eye on. This was a story on Zero Hedge yesterday. It looks like the United States Post Office is getting in the business of voting. It has recently been unearthed that the USPS filed for a patent on February 7th of this year, 2020, for a, quote, secure voting system, unquote, that uses a blockchain access layer. The story says, obviously, this could be one of the strongest signals of a welcome adaptation to blockchain by the U.S. government since blockchain was thrust onto the map by Bitcoin. Now, here's to kind of explain what it is. And boy, I don't want to have to try to explain the blockchain because I barely understand it. I think that may be an overstatement. I'm not a Bitcoin or a cryptocurrency person. I love the idea of a currency, some kind of a way to store wealth and have something that is outside of government control. Oh, to a libertarian, that's an absolute dream. It's just I don't understand why this stuff has value at all right now and why it trades the way it does, and I'm suspicious of it all. Here's what the USPS, the Postal Service, they filed a patent for this. This just seems odd to me in the first place that this would come from the Postal Service as a patent, but quote, a voting system can use the security of blockchain and the mail to provide a reliable voting system, the patent application says. Quote, a registered voter receives a computer-readable code in the mail and confirms identity and confirms correct ballot information in an election. The system separates voter identification and votes to ensure vote anonymity and stores votes on a distributed ledger in a blockchain. I may need somebody to call and actually translate that for me exactly. The United States Postal Service is listed as the applicant on the application for this patent. Now, to me, that's a danger sign, if only, that even if blockchain is secure and is safe and would be efficient for a way to vote for us, the government and the post office in particular may find a way to screw it up. I'll be honest with you. I don't bash the post office a whole lot because, in general, I've had very few pieces of mail lost. Lines at the counters are pretty objectionable, but I got to tell you, you go into a Walmart, which I rarely ever do, but you go into a bank, yeah, they don't handle lines that much better either. So post office is not too far off the mark there, but obviously they do not run efficiently, and I know as a government entity, they're not ever forced to because they just grab a little bit more taxpayer cash to fill in any holes that are left by these things. But anyway, they're looking at blockchain and mail. I would love to think that that would work, but with my limited amount of knowledge on stuff and my fascination with hackers, it seems like an absolute disaster to do any level of online voting. It does seem like there would be some way that you could vote online and see how your vote was registered, but I guess you couldn't do that in a secret ballot. What I mean is almost like where you just, there's a database that just goes and it says Mike Madison voted for whoever voted for, and you could go on and check and look if it's counted that way, and there it is, and then they can just take all that public information tallied up and you get it. It seems like that would be a pretty honest way to do it, and an easy way to spot fraud, too. If you looked on there and you saw one of your dead grandparents had cast a vote for somebody, you would be able to somehow alert somebody and say, hey, they didn't vote for anybody. That vote doesn't count, but I guess that would mean that we would have to publicly be able to see who everybody voted for, which doesn't work. I don't know. Voting, this election, we are going to have probably zero faith in the outcome almost either way that it goes. Democrats are not going to accept a Trump re-election. Republicans are not going to accept a Biden election. I'll cling to Steve yesterday, who said I may be surprised that this election goes by more smoothly than I think. I'm certainly hoping that that's the case. I'll be honest. I thought that the 2016 election was probably going to have some contentiousness to it and was going to be a problem, but Hillary conceded relatively quickly. Within a day, I guess, was it that night? Was it that night, or did she that the next morning she conceded that, and actually we got a Trump presidency from that? So I was a little surprised then. Feels a little different right now, I must say, particularly with all of the mail-in voting and the COVID hysteria going on. But we will see. The other little bit of technology that I've seen mentioned that is, boy, really scares the bejeezers out of me is the Federal Reserve is looking into getting money to the American people through something like an app. I might have talked about this briefly one day before, but I heard a little bit more about it. Somebody was saying that one of the things that's being discussed is that the Federal Reserve, it takes so long to loan the Treasury money, and then the Treasury's got to send out checks to everybody. So essentially the Fed would just come up with an app, and you would go download your app, and they could just fill up your account with money anytime they wanted to. Yeah, just the stroke of a keyboard, and suddenly they load money on there. And they were talking about the ways that they thought the Federal Reserve thought that this could really be helpful in managing the economy is because if you can imagine that the Federal Reserve would just, you'd have this app, and ding! You get it. $2,000 is on there. Oh, that sounds great, doesn't it? just getting this free money out of nowhere, just, I mean, electronically. I mean, I pay my son sometimes with PayPal. I'm sure he loves when that little ding goes off and he realizes his dad put some money into his PayPal account. That's got to be very exciting. I always had to call my parents and beg them for money. It was horrible. There was no email. There was no text back then. I'd pace around going, ooh, I know I'm not supposed to ask my parents for money. This is not going to be easy. They're not going to be happy about this, but I've been so irresponsible with it. I'm out of beer and pizza and got no gas. I need to call them again. At least you had to, you know, you had to work up the courage and have that conversation. Now you can just text your parents. I need more money, and they just send it to you electronically. It's such a scam. These kids don't know. It's supposed to be very hard to ask your parents for money, but anyway, the Federal Reserve could just put this money onto your app, and here's the thing that they could do, too. They could start doing things like, you know, we want to see some economic activity soon. So maybe that money only lasts for 30 days, maybe 15 days, maybe 10 days, maybe 5 days. You know, if you really want to goose an election or something like that, you can imagine a politician that instructs the Federal Reserve, all right, give everybody $3,000. They can only spend it in the next 30 days. Let's boost this economy heading into an election. I mean, there's all kinds of ways they could micromanage that by digitally sending you this phony money that the Fed prints up. It's an absolute disaster in the making, but it is probably where we're headed. And it's one of the reasons I didn't like Trump's executive order giving $400 to people. You've got a single human being in Washington, D.C. dictating money spent by the Treasury, issued by the Federal Reserve, and just going out to human beings. No Congress, as bad as Congress is, no Congress involved. It's just one guy saying, hey, we're going to send out this amount of cash to people at this time. But the Federal Reserve is working on these things. So technology is going to come in, and we need to get ahead of it. I guess I need to figure out this blockchain stuff. I used to have my buddy Trey Goff would come in here, talk to us about blockchain. Back when he was in here is when blockchain, you know, when Bitcoin was going up around $20,000, and he was a big cryptocurrency investor, was just making a ton of money. I'd be very interested to know where he ended up on that. He went up to Washington, D.C. area to work on some libertarian policy stuff, and I believe they've had a big success with that. I need to have him on the show to talk about what they're creating as far as kind of a libertarian society, a insulated one. Pretty interesting stuff, but see if we can get him on. Anyway, another night of the convention I will not talk about tomorrow. That's all the time I got today. Stay tuned for Doc Livingston. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.